Time for our Friday interview. Ruby Wax, comedian, writer, mental health campaigner. She's widely spoken in the past about her battles with depression. I've been speaking to her and asked her why her book was dedicated to her mind, which she says at one point she felt that it was just torn down.
I'm using comedy a lot because I'm dyslexic. It's just a snazzy way of saying I lost my mind. But the book isn't about depression. The book is about all of us. So I happen to suffer from it, but that certainly doesn't have a lot to do with this book. It has to do with my show, but not the book.
Do you mind if I talk to you about depression? And then, of course, we'll talk about what's in the book as well, because it's such a massive issue, Ruby, and a massive thing to stand up tall and to say, I've got it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, because I was outed by Comic Relief. They put my poster up, and it said, this woman has mental illness, please help her. Otherwise, I would have never told anybody. So I wrote a show, nothing to do with the book, that I thought I'll use that and make it my publicity poster for my show. And then I toured mental institutions for 2 years. And then eventually now I'm touring it all over the world. And the questions they ask me in the mental institutions are the same questions the audiences ask me now. And the world is pretty similar. That's all I'm saying.
Were you embarrassed in yourself at the beginning? Did you feel weak?
Well, I was a little appalled when I saw the pictures, but then when you're doing a show, you're concentrating. So I didn't know. I in the second half, I say, you may want to go out for a drink, but then come back if you want to have a conversation. And usually we have to shut the theaters down because everybody wants to talk because they have no other place to talk. So they used to use the theater. And it was quite exciting in there.
And Ruby, how did it impede you from doing what you wanted to do?
It didn't impede me. It's a thing that's episodic. And I only had it a few days at a time when I was younger, and then it got a bit longer when I was older. But I do take medication. So it didn't impede me, but it wasn't a delightful experience.
Can you feel it coming on?
No, that's the thing about it. You don't feel it coming on. It's suddenly there one day, and then you can't move out of the house or move money. It's there. So it's got nothing to do with creativity. It's got nothing to do with what you do for a living. It's like saying somebody has diabetes. And it pretty much is all the same in all of us. And it has nothing to do with being sad.
And do you find yourself in a... I spoke to someone recently who had very severe depression, and they found themselves very close to a catatonic state in that they simply did not want to move. And even the feeling of lifting an arm, felt like moving
hard.
A mountain.
Yeah, that's depression. And then there's sadness and mourning and all the things that are human. So let's not get them confused.
You keep on saying all the things that are human. So is your message that the majority of us are susceptible to this?
No, that's not my message. My message is it's like cancer, but it's in your brain. People that feel sadness, especially in Ireland, because they make great poets. All those are human emotions. They have nothing to do with depression. Nothing. It's an unfortunate word. So I'm saying it's, part of our malaise is to be happy, to be sad, whatever. Depression is just imagine you have a tumor, except it happens to be in your brain. That's depression, over and out.
And your way of...
That's nothing to do with my book, by the way. But if you want to talk about depression, then it really is about the show.
The book is called Sane New World, Taming the Mind, and its aim is to help explain how people can sabotage their own sanity, right?
Sabotage their own thinking. But all of us are similar in the world, especially in this culture, is that we can't stop being busy, and actually we revere that. Somebody's a success when they're busy, and a lot of us have critical voices in our heads, not the depressed, everybody. And so I went back to school to find out why we think that way. Why is that everybody has these things? And so science is an interesting thing because it's true. So I thought, well, Ruby, you're a comedy writer and I can make it bite-sized. So now you really have a manual to see how your brain actually works. And there's ways to self-regulate so you don't have to keep running to a shrink for those people that can afford one. there is like this fantastic piece of equipment on your head that helps you switch focus when you want to, rather than have to stay up all night listening to that voice.
Wow, that sounds seductive that we would be able to, because look, we all get caught up in the rat race, or
yeah,
a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And you're saying that we can actually learn how to, I guess the word is contentment for me, certainly, Ruby.
Yeah, would be contentment. That doesn't mean all the time, because we're all human. It just means when you want to be with your kids or you want to concentrate, you have the ability to do that. You don't have to just throw up your arms and say, well, this is the way I am. I'm just an aggressive person. I'm just a victim. You know, you can either stick to the habits or you can change your brain. And this isn't something I made up. You know, they can see it in a brain scanner. What happens when you break your normal routine?
Well, what do we see? What is happening?
Whenever you experience something new or novel, or you learn something you didn't know before, imagine there's 100 billion trees in your head. New connections grow. So I always make a joke. Everybody has this in their brains, even Kim Kardashian. So when you look in, you've got infinite possibilities, infinite. It's and all of them can change all the time. So you can break habits. You can learn languages. You don't have to say, this is the way I was born. That myth is no longer true. You can say, okay, I can't have longer legs. I can't change the color of my eyes. But you can change your brain. CBT is really good, cognitive-based therapy. And mindfulness is good. And there's other types of things where you train it. You train the way you use your brain, the way you train your body to get a six-pack.
But this sounds overly optimistic to someone, presumably, who, like me, who hasn't tried it, in that, you know, you're essentially talking here about rewiring the brain. Right?
Yeah. Well, it can be done. And if, you know, you can either choose to talk about star signs and angels, or you could choose to have a look what science is, you know, giving us, which is remarkable. Unfortunately, usually the population doesn't hear about this stuff because it's academic. But my lack of I'm not the most intelligent. I can really make it bite-sized. So that works for me. And I think it's interesting for the public to know what they know in science, as long as you can make it accessible. Yeah, you can rewire your brain. That isn't a myth. That's actually true.
Did you do it for yourself?
Of course I did. That's, you know, you have to walk the that doesn't mean you don't lose your temper. You don't, you know, I'm still me. You don't turn into a vegetable. But it means that if I used to get in the habit of getting angry, so I'd snap. So that now I can still snap. But usually I know it's not the other person's fault. It's because I let it go. And so I can go, is this, you know, I can say, you're going into your old habit, Ruby, and I can choose to make to maybe have another reaction rather than always blaming everybody for being stupid.
And so how did you do it? Did you use CBT or what did you do?
No, I do mindfulness, but that doesn't work.
What does that mean?
It means paying attention on purpose in the present moment without any judgment. So even if you're in a high state of anxiety, if you tune into that, you'll know where you are, but you don't give yourself the hell you usually give yourself by going, oh, God, I'm stressed, and you get stressed, I'm stressed, or anxious about being anxious. You can kind of get it to, you learn to manage your own brain.
When you say you learn to manage your own brain, it sounds like you're saying, I know this feels simplistic, to calm yourself down, to give yourself a break. This has got to be more complex than that.
Yeah, of course it's more complex than that. But I mean, I try to explain in the brain what you will have to do if you want to calm yourself down, get your breathing down, get your stress down. It's complex, but, you know, and you don't read the book and you come out and you're fine. I just give you suggestions. Like somebody would say, this is how you stop smoking. Now go do it yourself. You can put the book down and say it's too complex, but it isn't. So it's not a self-help book. It's just saying this is what we know so far.
Isn't it extraordinary, Ruby, that somehow we get ourselves to the stage in our lives that we put so much pressure on our brain that we don't enjoy life as much?
Completely. And it's because of, you can blame everything. You know, we are going faster. There's no more spare time. you can't just buy a piece of merchandise. It has to be a sexy piece, you know, because of branding. There's too much choice and there's too much global information. We're not supposed to have so much incoming. But there is a way to shut it down. You know, if it's too, look, what makes one person thrive, they can sleep 2 hours, will kill the next person. So we all have to know our own tipping points where you go, you know what, I can't take this anymore. This isn't good for me.
And did you pile so much onto you?
I packed too much on.
Were you driving yourself crazy?
But what?
Were you driving? I'm not talking about depression. I'm just talking about this pressure and stress.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do it in your life?
Yeah. It, like for CEOs and people who are very, it gets you success. The only thing is, in these days, you know, and success is a wonderful thing, we don't know when to stop. So you do burn out. You do find yourself exhausted. And actually, that shortens your life.
And what were you doing, Ruby? Was it TV? And is that where you landed all the stress on yourself?
Yeah, I had three kids. I had television. I had no help. I'm the breadwinner. I, you know, wrote all night. I created shows. Eventually, they don't become enjoyable anymore. In the beginning, when you're young, it's so much fun. You know, you get a real buzz from it. But as you get older, it starts wearing you down. It's like, you know how you can take alcohol when you're 20 and you're really funny?
Yeah.
But when you're kind of older, it becomes, you know, an old drunk. Isn't that funny?
But you are this, for me, watching you, you've been this larger-than-life, confident, driven character. Mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, were you not enjoying it?
Not in the end. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone back to school. It, you know, it eventually exhausts you. Eventually, listen, there's always going to be a point if you're an athlete that your knees are going to give out or something. And then what I always think, get yourself another interest. So I got really interested in the brain, decided to go to Oxford, and then turn it into entertainment. You know, you don't drop what you were good at. So my next show is about how your brain works, because I think that's the most interesting thing in the world.
Scary thing to do, though, to change what you know and what you're successful at.
Uncertainty is what makes people the most fearful, except it's the only thing you can be certain about.
And how is life different for you now?
Well, I'm busy, but I only do what I'm interested in. That's all I do. If it's not interesting, then I don't do it.
That's
and I'm lucky enough
exactly.
to be able to make a living doing that.
Yeah, and that's a pretty rare...
That's real rare.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I count my blessings for that one.
Would you say, we used the word content earlier on, would you say you're content now?
I'd say I have more moments now than I ever did before. You know, you don't live in a total state of that, because then that makes you arrogant. And, you know, there's no humility. So you've got to balance it out. Sometimes I'm really itchy, but I will get extra busy, which used to compensate that.
What are the important things in life for you now?
Get burned out, that I really get pleasure when I'm standing on a stage rather than getting desperate, and that I talk to people, I'm present, rather than just my brain going, where did I park my car? Because that's another human feature, is that we're always thinking in the past and thinking in the future.
You know, I,
it's a real gift to be able to go right now. I'm talking to you. I'm really interested in what you have to say.
You've got to remember the perception that someone like me has of you. So, you know,
okay.
I genuinely want to meet you, because I think you were a fantastic performer, and you came to the Waterfront in Belfast when I was starting off broadcasting, and you and I met for about 2 minutes. You won't remember it. I interviewed you very, very quickly. It was about 14, 15 years ago. But what's fascinating for me is that you say that you don't panic anymore on stage. What, were you ever panicking on stage?
But, you know, you're professional, and I used to dry. I wouldn't remember my lines. Just a little bit.
Why were you panicking?
You think comedians who go on stage think this is fantastic, I'm going to be a hit? But there's a lot of fear involved in it, unless you're a zombie. So, it's a scary thing. Sometimes you're really good, and sometimes you're crap, and then it's really scary. So, you know, if you can stay calm up there, then it's really pleasurable. If you start to get worried or you get scared the audience doesn't like you, it's a pretty unpleasant sensation.
I would never have put you down as the type of person
that
got scared. Wow.
Okay. Every comedian does. It's the scariest job on earth.
And so this when you look back at the industry now and showbiz and television, do you look back on it differently now that
you're older? No, I think it was fantastic. It was the best time of my life.
But you don't want it anymore?
Yeah, I may do in 10 years, but not right now.
Yeah. And last question, Ruby.
Yeah.
Are you happy? 'Cause
I am.
Yeah, we all pursue happiness as well, don't we? As well,
that's what we do. Yeah, but there's a way to get more contentment rather than screaming with your head back, screaming with joy. I think contentment's more the interesting thing because it's pretty consistent.